to the Creator Coco podcast. I'm your host, Ian Wambai. This podcast helps you become a better creator by helping you learn from what other creators have already figured out. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us a tweet at Creator Coco. That's creator and then COCOA. In this episode, we talk about the movies and shows we're watching and what we thought about them. Documentaries like Genius, shows like Love is Blind, and movies like Dr. Strangelove. I hope you learn something that helps you become a better creator. So the first one I'll want to talk about today is a documentary on Netflix called Genius. So J-E-E-N and then hyphen Y-U-H-S. It's the story of Kanye West. It's a documentary about him. And the interesting thing about it is that the documentary is made from footage that was taken by Kanye West when he was a younger producer before he made it. And you can see it's basically someone following him with a camera the whole time. It's as if he's on some kind of a reality show, but it's a cameraman who believed in Kanye West, wanted to just start documenting his journey. And so you can see him move from Chicago to New York, how he got into Rockefeller and how he eventually got signed, and currently where they are, it's the story of him releasing his first album, which completely blew up. And documentaries like these give you an interesting perspective about the artist, because you get to learn a lot more about the work that they do. Because usually when you're depending on the news or just popular media to give you the story of an artist, it's usually more sensationalized. But here you can actually see this Kanye guy and how he is influencing everyone around him and how confident he is and how much faith he has in his vision. So it's really, really awesome. And you're just rooting for Kanye West the whole time. And it kind of changes how you see Kanye West even now in news. Because now you can see how hard he was working when he was younger and basically how everyone tried to screw him over. So it's a pretty awesome documentary. It's done very well. And I am actually learning a lot from it myself.
Is it like Last Dance? The Last Dance?
Kind of. Yeah, it has those same vibes. But it's shot in a different way, and it's told in a different way as well. But it's just the same story of someone who's very talented and very ambitious coming up.
Fine. So I've watched, funny enough, and this is a nice discussion, I was told by a friend, and I think he also told me about the Tinder swindler. And I've been seeing it everywhere, and I just could not watch it. So I watched it last night. it's interesting. So
what did you think about it?
I thought it was surreal. I thought it was like something out of like, I don't know, a fiction book. It was like the grandioseness of it all. Like how, I don't know, like how big that whole guy's scheme was and how fast spread it was. It was unbelievable. I could not believe someone was doing that. But I really also liked the perspective in which the victims were talking about. Of course, first in active voice, and also the fact that we were being told of the story of them and him. Currently, like, now they're in the lovey stage, so you can see the victims are reminiscing and stuff. So it takes on a nice gradual process before you realize, here's the issue. So I liked that a lot. And together with the graphics and also the kinds of videos we were being shown to complement the story, it really pushed the emotions forward, because then you see the proof as well as you hear what happened. And to me, it's not funny, but it's crazy. It's crazy. I never thought people are like that in such a grand way. But yeah, it was worth a watch. It was worth a watch. I've been recommended to a lot, and I watched it, and I don't regret it.
I think I faintly remember a time on social media when that story was actually being like pushed in the news. I'm not sure that I'm hallucinating this, but there was probably a time where I saw a few headlines about women who had been swindled out of their money. And it's something they even address in the show, where they show that the initial reaction of the women coming forward was for people to ridicule them and to call them kind of gold diggers. And it just gives me this idea that sometimes you see something in the news, and to you, it's been presented in a specific way. So you end up having a certain reaction. But the person who that thing is about, that you don't really care about, is having such a deep life experience, and their life is completely changed because of that thing. But to you, it's like not such a big deal. So did you see that thing in the news, or do you remember if you ever heard about something like that before?
I don't remember. If I saw it, I probably saw it in passing or moved along it quite fast. I don't remember. But I do believe you, there was probably something like that on the news even here. And also, yeah, I like that the fact that they in the documentary we got to have sympathy, and we never really saw that gold digger side. We never really saw that. All those mean things they were being told, maybe that's how the story was being presented, but I like the fact that they made a documentary, so that we also see that these were humans, their lives were messed up. It was quite real for them, and you feel for them. So yeah.
But then, do you think the guy deserves some credit for being able to have such balls to execute such a scheme and actually get away with it? Because when I went back after the show, I went to his Instagram, and the guy's just living his life. So, what do you think about the guy?
I had a brief moment of awe in just the grandiosity of his scheme. It was so big, it was so far spread. It was all over the world, like messing up these ladies' lives. It's like the way serial killers, when they get caught, there is a fan base of them being geniuses in the way they were able to manipulate people to kill them. And it's even such a big deal that, let's say, a serial killer killed like 50,000, 60,000 people. You even see that most of their things, most of their personal possessions are collectibles now, in some dark side of town, side of the internet. So I feel like it is the same. Even if there was something, even if it's an extremely negative thing, there is, I mean, if you choose to look at it like that, there is, a brilliance about the guy that would make him be able to actually do all these things. And I was just wondering whether he had like a personal assistant, because you have to keep a catalog of all these ladies on an Excel sheet of what you're doing, because it's so fast spread. And it was interesting that the ladies didn't notice anything weird and everything was okay, yet he was doing so many things at once. So it was impressive, and it also is impressive the fact that he got out of jail and he still got money, and he still got people to give him money, and he still got the models and the cars and everything. So there is a brilliance to him, but I would say that it is just very unfair as well.
Actually, now that I think about it, would this story be as interesting if it was the story of a woman getting money from rich men? Because to me, I've just thought about it right now, and it seems like what he was doing is probably something that women do to some degree, or not necessarily women, or just people who want to depend on other people. Is something that they do. So, like, for example, actual gold diggers, or people who want to get money from someone else. I feel like women, or okay, I don't know where I'm going with this, but do you think it would be as interesting if it was the story of a woman?
I see your perspective in that it is probably looked at worse for a guy to be supported or his lifestyle to be supported by women. That also adds to the like maybe disgust or something. Because the other way around, you're right, and it probably also happens. It wouldn't be as interesting, but what I would tell you it would be is that that lady would get a lot of negative press. She would never get someone else. But see, the dude came out almost like a hero in the end. She wouldn't come out like that. It would be the worst hate thing is just coming her way. Yeah, I think there's a lot more clout and a lot more like, wow, he was able to do that because he's a guy. If it was a lady, she would get a lot of backlash and she'd just be seen as, you know, a thought or something like that. So yeah, I see your perspective.
And also, there's also ladies who are publicly like that, like they the how their business model is to basically get money from men, and that's how they survive on the day to day. So I think like what he's doing happens in other ways that we don't really think about. It's just that his story was involves like Gucci bags and different countries, but what he's doing is probably happening at in many different ways right now.
No, I also see, yes, I see your point, but then I also see the fact that the bigger issue here is that he was swindling from like ladies that didn't have that kind of money as well. When it comes to, let's say, ladies on the other spectrum, the guys just they probably know that this is what they're getting themselves into, or they don't, but they give the money willingly and they don't expect it back. I don't think they do expect it back. Because let's say, yes, you're a model, this is what you do. You're freely given the cars, the houses, the bags, everything. They don't expect that money back. And in some instances, they know that's kind of your vibe and why you're with them. And so there's usually a bit of a consensual thing there, I feel. But I think the issue with him is that these ladies were not, they weren't financially capable of supporting him at all. So the biggest issue was that they had to get loans and they're still paying off the loans. So it was that kind of angle that makes it worse that they couldn't afford to even give him that kind of lifestyle. Yeah.
So to that I can add that I think that a lot of guys go into debt to please women, and they also take loans to please women. And I think that if this was the story of a woman making a man broke and making him take loans, that would just be look like the man is dumb. What do you think?
Actually, the man
Like
is
the man
dumb.
wouldn't be, Like the man wouldn't be presented as a victim in this case. So imagine if it was the same story, and then it's a man sitting and being and saying, "I fell in love with her. She did this, and then I went and took a loan." So do you think the man would look like a victim?
The kind of angle that is there, because then there's the a power money has, and then there's also the beauty power that also brings. So it's kind of opposite now in the girl side. So you just look at him like, you're such a loser, why would you give her all that money, why would you go to debt or something. But I feel like he would, it would also just seem like he wanted something else, like that maybe was out of his league, but he still forced issues. But then I also see that that's what the ladies did. But then, oh, I don't know.
Fine
I
then.
don't
So
know.
that's up for discussion. I think now we've seen a gender angle there that maybe needs to be thought about a bit more. So then that's the gender swindler. I'd like to talk about the next one. And I am usually very interested in these like social experiments or TV shows or like dating, love TV shows, because you get to see a bunch of people coming in to a kind of an experiment on the show, and then you get to see them kind of like you get to see them kind of like shedding layers and just getting to know them better, basically. So people can come in and present themselves in a specific way, but then after a few more weeks, you can see how they truly are. You can see how dramatic things can get. And for me, it's usually just an interesting way of learning about people and also like relationships and that kind of thing. So the one I want to talk about is called Are You the One? And Are You the One is a competition where a bunch of people come into a house, and beforehand they have been assigned someone who, okay, you beforehand they say who the kind of person that they want or the kind of person they think they'll match with, and then the producers of the show basically find that perfect match for them, and then they're all put together in a group. And then they're asked to find that other person who was picked for you. So it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be in love with them, because sometimes the person who was chosen for you is not someone you love. But you just have to all use logic and also your own feelings to figure out who is the person who I'm supposed to be with. And then there is ways for you to eliminate and figure out, oh, are these two people meant to be together? Yes. Are these two people meant to be together? No. And then using that kind of game, if all of you find your perfect match, 100%, you win the prize and the show ends. So that's Are You the One? I think it's an interesting premise, and it also gets pretty dramatic. There's fights and and just people being jealous. That's actually one of the most interesting things when you watch these shows. You just see how people can get trapped in relationships which they don't want to be in. So it's actually just a very interesting kind of thing to watch. So I don't know whether you've watched Are You the One, or are you into these kinds of dating shows? And yeah, what do you think?
That's interesting. I think I've seen something like that. I'm not sure that I watched it, but I've seen something like that. The one I've watched in terms of this experimental relationship games is Love is Blind. It's like a, okay, let me just explain it in like a few seconds. It's just girls and men, women and men just come together. And they try to fall in love, but they don't see each other. And they have to propose to each other if they like each other, even without seeing each other. And it's interesting. There was a time I was really into that rabbit hole. I even went on Reddit to follow these people. Were they real people? Did they actually get married? Was this a scam? I was super invested because it's actually extremely interesting to see how someone is forced also into a situation they don't want, and then they're also painted as the villain because they don't want something. So I also I've also watched one of those kinds of shows.
And also sometimes with those shows, you can see this pattern of relationships, so how people interact. So in the first stage, people are strangers, so they don't know each other, and how they present themselves is in a shallow way, like, look at me, I'm so pretty, or this is me, I have sex with 50 different people. And then after that stage, now that they now start interacting with each other and they start having feelings, the people who are shallow start looking at the people who are actually trying and having success. And people now start to figure out that it's time for me to start exposing myself more and just not being so fake. So when these shows usually begin, the conversations are shallow, like, oh, you're so pretty, and oh, you're so hot, or X and Y and Z. But pretty soon you figure out that you have to move beyond that stage for you to be able to connect with this other person. And now the next stage is now you're trying to connect with this other person, but there's multiple people who you can connect with, and you're just trying to figure out who's the best person for you. But then when you decide on one person, you still have lingering kind of relationships with these other people, and some people react differently when in that situation. Some people try to have both relationships, and then it backfires on them. Other people commit to one relationship and then they move on. And then there's other people who just lie to themselves and stay in a relationship that everyone around them can see is not working out. Have you watched any other thing recently that you think is interesting?
Yes, I have, and it is called All of Us Are Dead. It is essentially the story is that a high school becomes ground zero for a zombie virus outbreak, and the trapped students must fight their way out or turn into the zombies. I was quite skeptical about this, seeing that the zombie theme for me is outdone and it's a bit tired. You know, I don't know. But something about this made me watch it and I actually loved it. The downside was that it was too long. It was too many episodes for such a short story or premise. So what I loved about this, first of all, you know, it's a Korean show, and I think I got to dive deeper into how their chemistry is or how their culture makes them interact with each other, and it's very different, I feel like, from us, but at the same time, it's also very similar. So you also feel for the children. And the interesting thing about this is they also take a Game of Thrones-ish side to the fact that there's no precious, there aren't any precious protagonists or anyone. No, anyone can be killed, and that is very interesting. But I feel like they had not built up the other characters to be strong enough for one of them to be killed, and it's okay. You end up missing that person, and it ends up getting a bit boring. But also the chemistry between them is very interesting to watch. They also take a bit of a humorous approach. It becomes like a bit more humor and a bit more serious. And there is, of course, some love relationships in there. There's just some friends, and they're all trying to escape this zombie outbreak. And they're trying to save each other, they're trying to save themselves. And also another kind of zombie theme that came out here, what they did is that some of them, when they're bitten by the zombies, they become like half zombie, half human being. So they don't quite die. And then the people they bite also become half zombie, half human being. So there's some that are positive zombie, half human beings, and there's some that are negative zombie, half human beings. So it's very, I would say it's fun. It's extremely interesting. They did the zombies very well. I don't know if you've watched Train to Busan, but there's something about Koreans and doing zombies very, very well. I don't know. I don't, they just have a dedication to them that maybe the Walking Dead guys don't. And it has a humor angle. Anyway, so the story might sound simple, but the plot is extremely intriguing. Not intriguing, really. It's fun to watch. But the downside is that there are way more episodes than there should be for this kind of show. But it's interesting and it takes a very nice emotional turn and everything. So, yeah, all of us are dead.
So I think I saw it, but then I was just like, no, I won't watch. I think I saw an ad when it came out.
I know that vibe for let me not watch it. But when I feel like some themes, you just have to be in the right mindset, or you have to force yourself to just get through 5 minutes and then you enjoy the show. And that's what I love mostly about the show. It doesn't make it hard for you to get into knowing that it's a zombie vibe. So yeah, it's fun. It's a fun watch for like an afternoon and stuff, but it's a bit too long for me.
The one I would like to talk about next is a movie that I recently watched called Doctor Strangelove, but it has a longer name, Doctor Strangelove. I'm Googling this. Oh, so the full name is Doctor Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. So it's one of those movies I've always seen like marketed as a classic, or whenever someone's talking about it, they say it's one of those old movies that you're gonna like. And I went on this journey of watching a bunch of old movies. So this is one which I hadn't watched yet. And I put it on. It was made in 1964. It's in black and white. And the story is the story of a general in the US who has gone crazy and basically started a nuclear war with Russia. And then now the president of the US and the president of Russia have to figure out how to stop this from happening, how to stop the nuclear disaster from happening. So this movie was made around the time during the what you would call the Cold War. It was a time where people were actually worried about Russia and the US starting a nuclear war. So it's a movie from that time. And the thing people are worried about that time the most, which I think we should also be worried about to some degree always, is the threat of nuclear bombs just destroying the whole world. So that being said, well, the premise sounds a bit serious, but how it has been done, it's more like a satire. So, and it's written very well. It completely stands up, or even all these years, because of the writing. It's so good, and the characters are just so well acted, and they're so well done. And it's kind of a satire, so there's a humor aspect to it where they're making fun of the situation that they're in. Like the director is making fun of presidents and how they think about war and their scientists and how paranoid they are. So, because even when the nuclear war is ultimately avoided, no, was it avoided or did it? No, the nuclear war actually happened, and that's actually the it's a spoiler, but it's a movie from 1964. So the nuclear war in the end actually happens, but then immediately the funny thing is the general starts giving the president advice that now they should watch out that the Russians don't build more bunkers than them, or just some other thing that they want to compete with that's also dumb. So the movie has some really good lines. It has some really iconic like images and visuals. Like when the nuclear bomb eventually drops, it drops with someone sitting on it like a horse, and he's like riding the nuclear bomb into Russia. And it was a very cool scene.
So I've started watching The Sopranos. I'm in episode 4, so I don't think I can really talk or vouch or do anything there. And then I also started is it The Succession or is it Succession? Not quite sure, but I also have not finished that one. What I have finished almost is this it's this mini series called Scenes from a Marriage. It's been shot very well, it's been directed very well, and the story is extremely it's really interesting. We're just following this couple through a really rough patch in their marriage, and they take an interesting angle in such a way that they show us the actors coming to the set, which is their job, and then now they continue showing us the story of their relationship. I understand maybe it's to distance ourselves from the fact that they're people to the fact that they should just be vectors, and maybe you should place your own stories upon them. I don't know, but it got too sad too fast. I was too sad, and I don't really feel it didn't give me nice vibes in the end, but I would say that's a positive because they did it so well, such that they immersed you quite deep into that show, such that you begin to take sides, you begin to really feel these deep emotions and anger and hate and love and joy and things like that. But I suppose that's how a really good show should be made. But it's gut-wrenching. I would just say I did not prefer to watch it. But then I couldn't stop watching because it was made well. So yeah, Scenes from a Marriage.
So, there's something else I thought about the Tinder swindler that you also brought up, which is that they did a very good job of using social media and also giving you evidence of the story, so that you feel like you're there in real time. Like they're showing you all the WhatsApp chats, and they're showing you the social media feeds, and all the graphics were really well done, right?
Yeah, they really put us in that particular moment that they were having with this guy. Like, you even saw that their faces were happy when they were talking about their happy times. And so you don't really get the looming danger yet when they're on the happy side and stuff like that.
I also started Breaking Bad season one again. Just something on the side I was interested in checking out. I wasn't sure whether I would be interested in continuing and finishing, but it has pulled me in for the most part. And once in a while, I'll keep watching episodes here and there to see how the story goes on. I can tell the writing is pretty good, and I'm just looking forward to seeing it. I know you're a big fan of Breaking Bad, and so that's what I'm watching right now.
You will not regret it. And I feel like you shouldn't watch bits and pieces. You should just dedicate the fact that you're gonna watch it again. I've been trying to watch it again, maybe season one, but then I decided to just watch the whole 6 seasons, like as the show I'm watching currently. And boy, was I thrilled. It's because And maybe that's just the signs of a really good show. It's the fact that you miss a lot of nuances, and actually stuff that are not nuances, you miss them in your first watch. And on the second watch, you begin to, understand deeper about the characters, about the
Is
plot, about
your mic moving?
I am holding it, but not I was expressing myself even with my hands. Fine, I won't move my hands. Yes, so where were we? Breaking Bad. Yeah, just watch it again. I feel like it's one of those shows that it's just a gift that keeps on giving. I believe it's one of my best shows. And even the second time when I was watching it, even when I left the room a bit, I rewinded because I was like, oh my gosh, what else happened? What else happened? Like, it was like I was watching it again, and there's no other show that's ever made me feel like that. So it's a dope show. Really recommend it. Yeah.
And you said that you're watching The Sopranos. So far, how is it for you, and why did you decide to watch it?
Funny enough, when I finished Breaking Bad, my second thorough watch, I went on Reddit to just find solace. I felt so lonely after I finished. And then that's when I found a thread about people talking about which shows can be at the same level with Breaking Bad. And I saw The Sopranos really coming up time after time with people saying it was their best show. So I was like, okay, fine. I'm just going to try it. Like, you know, I don't know. So then I found it. And it's like it's a mafia kind of organized crime, kind of like an Italian family thing going on. It's almost like The Godfather, but then it's a series following a very particular okay, it's also just like The Godfather, but then from where I am, I've also realized that it's very nuanced and it's very easy for you to miss things here and there that connect with each other, and that's important. I've rewinded a lot even in the first four episodes that I've watched. But I can say that their family dynamics and how the story is told, sorry, is very interesting. And I think it'll only get more interesting. I also appreciate the fact that they speak in English. It's hard sometimes to follow Italian and have to read, but you know, Narcos, you just have to read when it's a good show. So anyway, yeah, it's nice to where I am. They're still developing the characters. It's like it's told from the perspective of this guy speaking to the therapist about his going ons and everything like that. So it's interesting. It's nice to see. I don't know. The people are portrayed. The family is portrayed. I wouldn't say realistically, but it's interesting to see like the organized crime and how that happens. Yeah. So I'd say for where I am right now, it's okay. It's not bad.